A few weeks ago, my wife Anita and I were watching a hotly contested ball game between the Cardinals and the Cubs. The Cubs pitcher, John Lackey, threw a curveball that was so clearly strike three that the Cardinals batter, Carlos Martinez, headed for the dugout. The only problem, to the delight of Martinez and the dismay of Lackey, was the umpire called the pitch ball. When Martinez hit the next pitch for an RBI single that gave the Cards the lead, Lackey unloaded a barrage of profanities at the umpire and was quickly ejected from the game. A shocked Anita, after watching Lackey's tirade, asked me if swearing was common in baseball. I told her that when I was growing up in working-class Pittsburgh, my first exposure to profanity came at a Pirates game. In 1948, when I was 9 years old, my father took me to a game between the Pirates and the Brooklyn Dodgers. Because of the presence of Jackie Robinson, there was a large crowd at the game, but we got there early and we were able to find general admission seats in the front row of the right field grandstand. The Pirates' right fielder that day was former Dodger Dixie Walker, who'd been traded to the Pirates after the 1947 season because he didn't want to play on the same team with Jackie Robinson. Early in the game, a Dodger hit a line drive just fair down the right field foul line. Walker hustled over to field the ball, but when it hit the right field wall, he misplayed the bounce and the ball caromed away from him. As I watched an angry Walker chase after the ball, I could hear him hurl a stream of profanity-laced curses that even made the baseball blush. When I turned to my father and asked for an explanation, he just smiled, shrugged, and said he'd guessed that old Dixie was no Southern gentleman. A few years later, Hollywood came out with a movie called Angels in the Outfield, in which a foul-mouthed manager is told by a heavenly voice that Angels will help his team win the pennant if he stops his swearing. Hollywood wanted a team that was so woeful that it needed heavenly help, so it picked the worst team in baseball, which at that time was my Pittsburgh Pirates. While Dixie Walker and Hollywood made it clear to my young, impressionable mind that there was lots of swearing in baseball, I didn't need much help from baseball in the movies. When I was a teenager in Pittsburgh, I spoke a working-class idiom that, over the years, became known and sometimes mocked as Pittsburghese. Pittsburghese echoed in expression and accent the life of a steelworker. It had the sound of those who were all too familiar with the fatigue of hard labor and spoke with as little stress as possible. Those who spoke it would drop syllables, collapse phrases, and leave off the ending of words. In the winter, our mothers would tell us to watch our step outside because it's snowing and slippy out there. In the summer, our fathers would ask us, "Yuns want to watch the Bucks or what you want to do?" While my generation spoke perfect Pittsburghese, we came up with our own contribution by adding a crude four-letter obscenity as an adjective to just about everything we said. In my wayward youth, my use of gutter language rivaled that of a drunken steelworker. It took years of education for me to kick the habit, but my Pirates and their losing ways are still capable of sending me into a torrent of profanity that would have made Dixie Walker blush. As for my wife Anita, she's a Pittsburgh girl, looks great in a babushka, loves pierogies, and thanks to her husband, roots for the Pirates. She knows and can speak Pittsburghese, but swears so mildly and so rarely that if I had a swear jar for her, it would be filled mostly with pennies. As for her husband, he's not as bad as he once was when it comes to swearing, but Anita knows it's probably best to go in another room when a Pirates-Cardinals game is on television. This is Pete Peterson for Reading Baseball.